be bold and be brave and just go for it.
As photographers, we are always looking for powerful images that will hold time and place, that will draw people in and symbolize something universal, something shared, something emotional.
Everybody needs to see what's going on everywhere. Pictures just stand out. This is how we remember.
Insights, kits, and the conversations that matter with the world's leading photographers and filmmakers in Shutter Stories.
We live in an age where countless images are sent and received every second of every day, and yet there is still a real magic to holding a real print in your hands. And in today's episode, to coincide with International Print Day, we're focusing on the value of print and the benefits of printing your images. Welcome to Shutter Stories. I'm Ilvin Jokicin. I'm a Canon ambassador and I'm today's host. Later, I'll be joined by bespoke wedding photographer and keen advocate for photographic printing, Sanjay Jogia, as well as Canon printing expert, Suhaib Hussain. But first, though, I'm joined by the speaker, blogger, podcast host and founder of International Print Day and website Print Media Center, Deborah Korn. Welcome, Deborah.
Thank you so much, Ilvi. I am so honored to be here. Cannot wait to have this discussion.
Thanks so much for making time. So we have invited you to speak to us today because you are a very keen advocate of the printed image, of course. And could you maybe start by telling me how your love for print kind of came about? Where did it start?
Sure. I actually worked in advertising agencies for over 25 years as a print producer. And when people used to ask me what I did for a living, I would say that I bring ideas to life. And that is really where my love for print came in. I was in the print production department. And it was so interesting working with the art directors and the photographers and all the vendors and retouchers and everybody involved in really, making the visual the best it can be. It's a message. It's a communication device. It's a picture, or even with words on it or without words on it. I mean, it is just so powerful. So that is really what attracted me to it. And then, of course, I did have the luxury of, every once in a while I'd walk through Times Square in New York City and see some of my billboards hanging there or see them on the bus shelters on Fifth Avenue or driving by on the tops of taxis. And I just felt like I was part of the world in a bigger way, if that makes any sense.
No, totally. Yeah, that's what a print can do, right?
It yeah.
kind of comes to life. And I can imagine if you see prints on billboards or on taxis driving by, it gives a whole different feeling to
100%.
It all.
100%. We once did a campaign down the entire Fifth Avenue. So every bus shelter, every corner had art that I worked on there. And it was just like amazing. You almost wanted to like turn to other people and say, I did that. I did that,
I can imagine. I know that feeling because I work as a photographer for newspapers. And sometimes I see like my picture on the newspaper in the store. I'm like, ooh, that's my picture printed there. It's really a weird feeling when you see it printed. It feels more like you want to scream like, hey, that's mine. I did
because
that.
Because somehow it's real, right? Right, Elvie? It becomes like something that is no longer in your head. It's no longer someone else's idea. It's no longer wondering if the light was just right when I pushed this, the picture, when I clicked the picture.
Exactly.
It's the manifestation of everything that goes into it in the physical world. And it's just really cool.
Yeah, so true. No, totally agree. And you started a website, Print Media Center, and also Project Peacock, which is a resource platform for print and marketing professionals around the world. Could you tell us a little bit about both of them?
Yes, and thanks so much for asking about it. So Print Media Center is essentially a place that I describe as providing Printspiration and resources for print and marketing professionals.
Printspiration, I love that.
Yeah, Printspiration. there's blogs on there, there's videos, there's, of course, the podcast, but mostly the work that I do is bundled into community initiatives or educational initiatives. And Project Peacock would definitely fall under an education initiative. And its mission is to bring printspiration to the people. And it is basically a print customer show and tell, an educational program in order to make sure that everybody out there who might not be aware learns about the new opportunities that there are, you know, through print. And what do I mean by that? There are really cool substrates out there that people don't know that they can print on, like metal and things of that nature. There are new printing techniques that allow, things to be customized and personalized that people aren't aware of. There are new inks out there that really have expanded the way that creative people can use color. There's specialty inks that glow in the dark. There's just so many things out there. And also, over the last 10 years or so, the printing industry has really made a seismic shift from what we would refer to as traditional printing. It's called offset printing. It uses plates. It's usually what they print things of really, really large volumes that don't need to be different. And, like I said, about 10 years ago, digital printing was introduced to the industry. And what that really means is that the PDF that you send to a printer is now like a computer program, and the press is like a computer. And because of that, you can do a million different versions. You can do, five different things. You could do 100 different things. You can really change up everything that you're doing. And with that, way more opportunities open up.
There's a whole world out there that I really didn't know about.
And yeah.
I also know that you have, I think it's an online network specifically for women. Am I right?
Yes. It's called Girls Who Print, actually.
Why is it specifically for women?
Why is it specifically for women?
Yeah, I want to know. Tell me more.
Okay. I mean, the printing industry is, pretty male-dominated. And in that, there are just, spaces that are allowed to be dedicated to conversations that affect women, perhaps in different ways. And also, it was really important to me that the group was all about empowerment. And, we as women have just come up against things that men don't often come up against. So for example, how do you know that you're getting offered $10,000 less than the gentlemen who are applying for the same job? How do you navigate, I deserve a raise and I'm not getting one, or I, want to change my career and is there anybody out there who can tell me about what this is all about, So it's just a way for us to have our own girls club. The boys have their boys club. They've had it for years. The deals are still made on golf courses and in locker rooms and at bars at night where women aren't around all the time. And, it got to the point where I was like, I don't think our goal should be getting a seat at that table. Our goal needs to be to create our own table where we can empower each other.
Beautiful.
Where one of the biggest missions we have right now is if you see a job anywhere posted, put it in the Girls Who Print group. Let everybody know that there are positions out there because, it's just by virtue of who's working there. Hey, Frank, you we've got an open job. Do you know anybody? Yeah. And we need to get that to be, hey, Francine, we have an open job. Do you know anybody? And let Francine Right. Pull in a woman, you know? I mean, this is how these things happen. So that is why it is dedicated to women. But I have to say, you're the first person who has ever asked me why it was necessary. So no, but it's, you made me think that.
No, but I'm happy that you opened up a safe space like this, you know, like a space just dedicated for us. Because you're right, in this industry, it's very much male dominated. So, yeah. Happy this exists. So let's move to printing. What are your thoughts on the printing industry at the moment? Is it in a good place? Is it moving in an interesting direction? Has it changed a lot in recent years?
That is a really interesting question, especially as we are, you know, in the midst or coming out of a pandemic, depending upon where you live in this world, right? I think that in many ways, print has never been more important as a tool that is needed in society, however you think of it. If you look at the way that, you know, it was through print that people were learning about, you know, COVID and how to stay safe and were receiving important communications. That was, print was deemed an essential industry here in the United States. And I think that that really, you know, made people appreciate it more. You know, it was taken for granted. That mail was taken for granted, you know. And in 2020, at least certainly here in the United States, going to the mailbox became like a family activity. Like the mail was here, you know, everybody was so happy to have something to do and still feel like they were part of the world, even though what was coming to their mailboxes was different. Mm-hmm. You know, there certainly wasn't a lot of marketing materials. You know, people were being very mindful of the brand messaging and the things that they were communicating. You didn't want to get, you know, a postcard or an offer to take a cruise, you know, in 2020, no. That would have been a little inappropriate. Right. So, you know, it was, print became a serious thing, I believe, in many ways. And then as we started moving towards the end of 2020 and more business started again, print shifted from being an essential business to keep a society functioning to being something that was part of an essential communication strategy. And in that way, if you think about it, we're open. These are our new hours. These are our processes. Here's how we can help you while you're not in your office. A lot of these things were happening through print because, you know, people weren't at email addresses or not monitoring them or not answering them because they were being bombarded. And it was a way, again, to use that mailbox as the way to really announce something because it was so there was different materials in it now, and every one of those things in the mailbox was important to at least look at, which is a lot more than, you know, I could say for, you know, things, how I treated my mailbox in like 2018, you know, no, maybe, yeah, right? 100%. Garbage. So now this year, and as we move into 2022, the role of print is going to shift again. Mm. And I really believe that print is going to be the preferred medium to tell stories. And everybody is going to, the brands are going to do it. They're already doing it. They don't want those digital marketing ads that just fly by anymore. They don't want a little, you know, thing that pops up on your screen, people just clicking off of them. They're not responding to them. And it's not enough real estate to give brands and businesses a place to tell their story. And that is so important right now because as we are coming out of this pandemic, people are choosing teams. I don't know how a better way of saying that, you know? And you, I mean, for me, I want to be on a team that does business with somebody who's giving back to the world in a positive way. And the only way I'm going to learn about that is if they're telling me their story. And they're going to want to tell their story in a long form and in in some cases, a long form can be a postcard. And in some, in other cases, a long form are these really interesting, like coffee table books that brands are doing now about their, and corporations are doing about their they call them legacy books. They're telling their story, and they're especially telling their sustainability story. So I think print is going to be more critical as a messaging and communication device in these next couple of years than it has been in a long time, and integral in the multi-channel marketing mix. Now, it's always been a part of it, but it doesn't always have to be the foundation of it. In this case, I believe it will be the foundation. This is the piece that we're spending our money on, and the digital marketing will support that printed piece. Now it's kind of, in 2018 and 19, it was more shifted the other way. You know, we'll do all this digital marketing, and then if someone responds, we'll send them a printed piece. So I think it's super critical these days.
The pandemic really turned it around in a way.
I think that it helped people not take it for granted.
Yeah.
You know, you take it for granted. I took toilet paper for granted. Let me tell you, that was a mistake. I was one of the people that paid $89 for 16 rolls of toilet paper because I took it for granted.
That's a really good way to put it.
That I would be able to just go to my grocery store and there it would be, you know? And I think that that is what happened with, you know, with printing, that, you know, people took that stuff in their mailbox for granted. You know, I'm not getting my coupons anymore. Where is all this stuff? Companies that spent a lot of money in 2020 in the mailbox and on print were really focused on customer loyalty and customer retention. You know, I'm spending this money on print. I'm reaching you at home because I know you're there, and I'm showing you that I care about you. I'm not sending you an email.
Exactly.
I'm not sending you a digital banner ad. That's not gonna give you enough real estate to tell your story and tell you how you're with me and helping me and extending these loyalty programs and you've got my back. I mean, that has got to come in a meaningful way. And honestly, I think print is the delivery device for that.
And in the past, you've spoken about different print media. Do you favor particular types, or would you recommend certain types of media to clients and to colleagues?
I think that, you know, these days it's a really personal choice. And, you know, there are pretty massive supply chain issues out there, especially in the paper and substrate area, that are dictating a lot of these choices at the moment. But when things do work themselves out, and they certainly will, there are a lot of really interesting substrates out there and that are dependent on these new printing technologies out in the world. I mean, you can print on anything these days: doors, surfboards, skateboards, bottles, golf balls. I'm just naming some more uncommon things that you don't really think of as a printing process, but it really is. And I actually was doing some research the other day about printed decor, which I think is an amazing opportunity for photographers, by the way, especially. And I didn't even realize you could print on like shades, like in the store or even in your house. And I just thought it was an amazing application. So yeah, I mean, I would definitely suggest that if anyone out there has not, you know, learned about all the new opportunities with, you know, funky substrates and paper out there, to get in touch with a paper merchant, they're called, and ask them for a sample kit.
It's exciting to see what all can be printed on. It's amazing.
It really is. The thing is that you need the right printer for it to work. And in this case, like, I mean, it's perfect that I can use the Arizona, which Canon makes, as an example, because that is one of those things that you can put a door on and it'll print it, you know? You can also use that type of technology to print a lot of small things on a big 10-foot board made out of, it could be made out of acrylic, for example, and then use lasers to cut them out. So you really can get very, very creative, but it's not just about the substrate. It is completely tied to the printing technology. And I'm glad that you actually brought this up, because the companies that make the press manufacturers like Canon, they have lists of all of the approved media and substrates that they have tested for their equipment. And it's also a great resource.
Ah, see what all can be printed on. Yeah, I see what you're saying. So do you feel we should all be printing more, or should we find new ways for printing on new substrates or to make it more interesting to customers?
I think that print always has to be evolving and answering the needs of the market, creating needs in the market, and really enabling creativity as much as possible. So, I mean, within all of that is the result or the goal that you have in mind. You know, if you're going to choose this method of communication or display or sharing. So it really is dependent upon that. I mean, print can generate business results. So if that is your intended purpose for it, then yes, use more print. More print, more business results, you know? If you are doing a showcase, then you're not going to want to use more print, but you might want to pump more money into how that print is executed. More special effects, different substrates. You might want to invest in lighting, you know, or some sort of interactive components to it. So I really just think that it depends upon what your desired outcome is, but print is definitely a vehicle, a tool, a viable channel for achieving pretty much any result that you want.
And for the three websites that you mentioned earlier, I want to know where, or the listeners probably want to know, where can they find you online?
Oh my God, where can't they find me online? Might be a better question.
Yeah, that's the right way to put it, because I read a lot about you and you're everywhere.
Yes, unfortunately I am. For many people, they're like, there she is again. But that's what happens when you self-proclaim yourself the intergalactic ambassador to the printiverse. You kind of have to be everywhere.
Yes. But I love the title.
Thank you. Pretty much printmediacenter.com gets you everywhere you need to go. Center is actually spelled C-E-N-T-R, but Mr. Google is very nice. And if you spell it R-E if you're in Europe or E-R if you're in America, Mr. Google will say, no, I think you mean the other one, the one that's spelled funny. So he'll send you my way, which, you know, we're always very grateful for his assistance. And then from there, you can find all of the community initiatives I work on, as well as my podcast from the Printiverse, and another initiative called Elevate Print, which is about diversity and inclusion in the printing industry, and Print Chat, which is a weekly chat I host about print and marketing on Twitter that has generated over 2 billion impressions in the Twitter space since we began it. You know, Girls Who Print, as we mentioned, Project Peacock. And how can I forget International Print Day? And happy International Print Day to everybody out there. This is so cool that you guys have timed this podcast to come out on International Print Day. And it also fits into our theme of print again, really fits into this conversation and what you were mentioning before about, you know, why print or what is the value of print. And print again really stands for the renaissance of print in the marketing mix, and also that print generates such great results that you'll want to print again. So I'm so thrilled to be celebrating this with you and your team today. And thank you so much for making this happen.
Thank you so much, Deborah, for sharing all that you know and for being here. Thanks a lot.
This was really, really amazing. Thank you guys so much. And as we say in the Printiverse, until next time, print long and prosper, everybody.
So now for the second part of today's episode, we are joined by Canon ambassador and wedding photographer Sanjay Jogia, as well as Canon Europe product marketing manager and printing specialist Suhaib Hussain, to continue our discussion of all things print. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for being here, both of you. So, Sanjay, could you start by telling us how printing is part of your photography business?
Yeah, printing is, first of all, a massively underestimated and misunderstood part of our, well, part of the industry, but part of our business as well. People think, obviously, as wedding photographers, we just turn up and take pictures and we hand them over on a USB or something like that. But actually, the printing is, you know, it's a quite a large proportion. When a bride and groom come to us to begin with, we assume that they don't know necessarily what they want. They don't necessarily understand how the process works and how wedding photographers work and how the photography industry works either. We always describe to them the process as three stages. One is the capture, which is the production, the post-production, and the physical production, which is the output at the end. And a photograph isn't complete, or even a wedding isn't complete until it's printed, until the album is printed. So, you know, we sort of try to ingrain this mentality, ethos from day one, so that they know what they're working toward. And for us as a business, you know, it's a big part of the profit making for our business as well. But also, just growing up shooting film, you know, for me, just taking the picture and then leaving the negatives in the roll, in a drawer somewhere, it was a fruitless task. There was no point. You took the pictures because you're excited to print them to see how the images turned out. And a monitor can really flatter an image, but it's only when you actually print it that you start to see what you could have done better. So as a photographer, it improves my processes as well. So it's not just about the profit, it's about the process too. It's about the creation, the post-production. It's about the evolution of myself as a photographer and as a creative and as an artist. But yeah, I mean, I think it's crucial. I think a lot of people who used to shoot film have possibly lost the discipline. And a lot of people who started in this industry with digital probably never had the discipline to begin with. So they're kind of lacking that education and the experience that the improvement they would make as a photographer by just printing their own work.
Yeah, it's such a different feeling to have a print in your hands. I'm sure that's the same way for bride and groom after the wedding when they see images on the screen. It's a whole different experience when they're actually holding prints. And do you also offer photo books?
The main aim is to sell to the client an album and some sort of wall art. I say it like that. It's, you know, we're here to sell this to the client, but ultimately we understand what the images are worth to them in the future. They don't necessarily know now. The album is the storytelling, and the one-off prints are kind of maybe the hero images, or they could be the some of the portrait images of the two of them, or the families, you know, that sort of thing. People who are very close to them. So it's a combination of different things as well. So there's obviously the business element, no doubt, but then there's the heirloom that we are trying to make them understand that there's a value attached to this, that they, you know, they'll only begin to grasp as time progresses.
So is that what you think that kind of that print gives to them as a client, the historic perspective, or are there any other ways that you feel print is important to them? Because I can imagine it's important for when they're grandparents and they're, you know, they're older and they look back at their wedding. It's beautiful to then have a photo book, of course.
And I think you hit the nail on the head there, you know, because I give a few analogies from different experiences in my own life. I lost my mother when I was 15 to cancer. And so and when we all go through this experience of loss, the first thing we do is reach for a photograph. You know, we all need some sort of memory to cling on to. So what we do is we go for a photograph and we suddenly cherish that. You know, we keep it very safe, and that particular photograph becomes valuable to us because, you know, it's it's of that time. There's a zeitgeist element attached to this. And it's something I always say to the couple is that, you know, it's important for us to deliver their album to them within that year of the wedding. Some couples, you know, they take a little too long picking their images, and, you know, we're constantly pushing them to get this done, because they're missing out on the experience. Obviously, we want to complete our workflow, but they're missing out on the experience. You know, when they show the album to their children 10, 20 years down the line, the kids will treat this, and so will the couple, they'll treat the album with historical reverence, because it's as old as their marriage. You know, the physical paper is as old as their marriage. And if you just think about going to an art gallery, you know, you're not allowed to touch the prints, or you go to a library and you pick up an old book from, you know, that may be 50, 100 years old. It's delicate, and you treat it with respect because of its age. You know, you can smell the history. You can, you know, see the paper is maybe slightly faded, or, you know, the cover's kind of aged slightly. It's got a patina to it. And, you know, that history, is something that you can't really qualify or quantify, but there'll be an attachment that the couple will understand. And when they turn through the pages and there are photographs of, maybe family or friends who are no longer with them, those images will be priceless. You know, the day they booked our services, there was a price attached to it, but there is a value that they'll never understand until that time comes, you know.
And do you find that printing and this way of working, because it's funny, so I work in the journalism field, I'm a photojournalist, and I should be printing a lot more, but I don't print a whole lot. But I'm also thinking, you know, when I would print images, I would do it for clients who buy it to hang on their walls. That's my main reason for printing, but not necessarily for photo books or... but I can imagine, as a wedding photographer, it kind of strengthens your relationship with the client in a way as well, because they might be coming back to you years later for more prints. Or how does this work? Do you have clients returning because of printing?
Oh, all the time. Oh, I mean,
beautiful.
You know, we had an example is during lockdown toward the end of last year, we had a bride reach out to us whose wedding we photographed in Miami, huge, beautiful wedding over there, beautiful family. And, her brother who's also turned 40 that year and asked us to come back and photograph his 40th party over there actually he had that in Turks and Caicos. He passed away. And as I said, the first thing they did was reach out to us and said, we need a gigantic print. You know, they kind of came back to us from the portrait session we did for his 40th birthday. And it, you know, it was an image that they felt just epitomized him, because by that point, we'd already spent so much time with the family at the wedding, you know, through multiple events and through all the emotions, the ups and downs, the stresses and the joys of the wedding. When we were there for his birthday, we became part of the family. You know, they knew us, they trusted us, and therefore they were completely comfortable around us when we were doing the next photo shoot. So all of these things, you know, you're right, they do add to kind of reinforce that relationship and reinforce the comfort levels, if you like, but also that trust in us and what we do and what we produce and our processes, knowing that we'd have the images, knowing that, you know, we'd do a good job of the reproduction, the printed reproduction.
Yeah, so they really, you know, trust you.
Yeah, indeed. And I think sort of 20 years ago, it would have been just the norm. Take a picture, you expect it to be printed. You don't see it until it's printed. And the whole digital process, which should have been there to, I think initially people's sort of perception of it was that it would simplify our processes, photographers, but it's actually gone the other way. It's made it more complex, you know, because you could do so much to, you know, there's so much fine tuning you can do along the process from capture to print. And that should be the process, capture to print, but that actually a lot of photographers get to a point and they're like, I just can't handle anymore. I can't be bothered with it anymore. They think, well, the printing process is just a dark art. It's another thing to add to it, but it doesn't make sense. It's like running, you know, 24 miles of a marathon and then not doing the final two and getting to the finishing line. You've done all the hard work already.
So now do the rest as well.
Yeah, just do the rest, you know, and you can actually make so much more profit. And the science behind printing is actually very simple, you know.
I'm wondering, because a lot is changing, I mean, rapidly in the printing industry as well. Is it hard to kind of keep up with what you need to know to deliver what you need to your clients?
I don't think so. I mean, and this is coming from somebody who used to print in the dark room when I was a child, and I didn't like the process. I was too impatient. and then I started printing for myself maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I kind of lose track. It's a bit of a blur, but I started printing for myself for print competitions, and I used that to, you know, as a process to improve myself as a photographer, as an artist, you know, and sort of cut my teeth with printing, if you like. And then I realized that actually when I used to print years ago, even as a student, when I studied architecture and, you know, we used to do these drawings and I used to print them on big plotters and, you know, nothing has really changed. Yes, the ink technology changes, the printing technology changes, but on the user end, it's become a lot simpler. It's become a lot more accessible. It's become a lot easier to understand, I think. The basic science is fundamentally the same. You know, the way Canon and the paper manufacturers and, you know, whichever manufacturer it is, whatever they do to improve their product are things beneath the surface that consumers don't really need to concern themselves about. All they need to know is it's getting better. Yeah. And, you know, companies like Canon are doing what they can just to improve upon already amazing products, you know. And I started printing with the Pixma Pro 1, which was quite a heavyweight printer to begin with, really. But it was amazing. It taught me a lot. And it taught me how simple the process actually was. And now something like the Pro 200, Pro 300, which is designed as, I tried it when it first came out. And it's basically a pro printer, but it's like an entry level pro printer, if you like. And it's not even pro printer pricing, but it produces that kind of quality. So there really is no excuse to, you know, not to do this and not to increase your, you know, if you run a business,
not to include
I'm assuming
it.
A lot of the audience here, you know, are photographers who run a business. You can easily add another 50% profit to your business just by printing the work you've already done. It's just a no-brainer. It really is.
And have you seen any change in the demand you're getting from clients? I should really reconsider my way of working, by the way, when you're saying that, because I'm thinking, okay, maybe I should print a lot more than I am doing right now. But in my industry, the demand isn't as big as in the wedding industry. So I hope that'll
change.
Yeah,
but, you know, just to respond to that, I think if you print your own work, you'll critique your images in a completely new way. You'll see your images in a new light. You'll start to interrogate your processes, and it's, you'll even interrogate the way you see things, not just the way you capture things. You'll interrogate the way you work your camera and, you know, your technical approach to taking an image. And as a photojournalist, you'll be working pretty quickly. You'll be working with settings that either might be quite general so that you can get a lot of detail all at once, or perhaps your approach is to only single out certain bits of detail, which means that you're working in, you know, kind of quite extreme settings on your camera. But when you actually print it, you realize where the flaws are in the image. And as you're working through the image, you suddenly realize, you know, I could have actually just made one little change to something or another.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you'll remember that, because when you see these flaws, it really stings and you don't forget that. So I think even if you're not making money from the prints, which you possibly could do once you've done this, you'll definitely improve as a photographer.
No, it's true. It was 2 years ago when at Visa pour l'Image, it's a photojournalistic festival in France, Canon printed some of my work. And it was, first of all, the exact same thing like you just explained happened. I saw my image and I thought, oh, wow, I could have done a better job here and there and technically. And what also happened is that it was quite an emotional image, and I had seen it. I mean, I shot the image, first of all, and then I had seen it on my laptop so many times. But then I saw it printed, and I almost cried myself, because it was such an emotional picture, and I never felt the emotion when it was on the screen. And then I was holding the print, and I thought, ah, okay, this is what makes the big difference here. It's a whole different experience.
Yeah, that's a fantastic story, because it proves this point that when you print something, there's a certain finality. Yeah, there's a finality to that. You know, there's when you see it on the screen, you think, okay, you can open that image over and over again, see it as many times as you want. And there's no emotion attached to seeing something like that on the screen over and over again. But, you know, if they gave you that print and then took it away from you and then tore it in half, how would you have felt?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, there's an immediate attachment to a print. So, you know, to answer your other question about clients' demands is,
yeah,
you know, you can't sell what you don't show them. So if you show them prints and they, you know, and they see a large, beautiful canvas or, you know, something printed on fine art paper, you know, on large format, then it creates creates a desirability, but it gives them some context in terms of what's possible from their images. Because we'll show them large prints from different weddings and, you know, I sort of make the point to them that, look, these are not models. These are not people hired to look good in front of the camera. These are real brides and grooms, and this is what we can create, and this is what we can do from your wedding as well. We can print this in-house, and it's something that you can cherish and enjoy. And it's a one-off bespoke piece. It is a piece of art, and it's something that, you know, if I gave it to you on a USB, you're not going to plug the USB in, fire up your computer, and then look at it every single day. But if it's printed, it's there as a reminder every single day.
Yeah. So, Suhaib, I have a question for you, because I'm guessing you recognize everything that has been said by now.
Yes. Yes, I do.
I'm guessing you're also listening and nodding your head.
I'm fully aligned with everything that Sanjay said there. It's spot on.
What I learned, I found it an interesting fact, because I know printing is always very popular. But maybe it became even more popular during the pandemic, or what happened? Because I heard the printers were sold out during the pandemic.
It was a bit of a strange one for us, because I think nobody could foresee COVID coming and what the implications would mean for us and our day-to-day lives. And COVID meant everyone spending more time at home, whether it was with you know, those of us that have children, whether we were homeschooling or working from home. Generally, it just meant there was, you know, more time spent within the home environment, and all of these things, homeschooling, home working, it just naturally meant printing was going to be part of it, whether you were printing off coloring sheets for your children or worksheets, or whether you were doing, you know, invoicing or, you know, running your day-to-day business. So printing, suddenly there was a surge of, you know, print volume and demand in the home. And I think, you know, nobody, you know, saw that coming. And, you know, of course, COVID has had other implications of, you know, factory closures and, you know, parts, you know, like the famous semiconductors that there was a shortage of, which meant that there was, you know, less stock available. So we definitely did experience that. I think, you know, there's pros and cons of everything. And I think, you know, people have taken this time during COVID to sort of take up hobbies as well. And photography seems to have been one of those hobbies that a lot of these people and families that were finding now that they were spending more time, you know, indoors with their loved ones. And, you know, as Sanjay mentioned, they're around cherishing those moments. Printing became this thing, which was almost a necessity. Printers, ink as well. I know me and Sanjay had a bit of a discussion over COVID where Sanjay was trying to find out where he could get inks for the Pro 1000, because, again, there was shortage of ink as well. But I think it's amazing, because that time, especially for those photographers, we've seen a lot of photographers go into print as well during the pandemic. Very strange times for us. We didn't expect it. Nobody anticipated it. But yeah, it was from a business point of view, we sold a lot of printers and ink during the pandemic.
So could you, because I'm not the kind of photographer that knows a whole lot about each specific printer, and I would really love to learn more, because today's conversation also kind of helped me to wrap my head around the fact that I should really get into printing. So could you maybe take me and the listeners through Canon's flagship printers and kind of what they have to offer photographers?
Yeah, so I think to keep it simple, yes, especially please, for professional, of course, when it comes to printing, we need to keep things simple. I think, you know, Sanjay mentioned earlier around some photographers reluctant to get into it because of, you know, this fear factor won't understand it. But it is simple. You know, our range now, especially after our recent launch of the Image Prograph Pro 300 and the Pixma Pro 200, has meant that our range is quite solid and complete now. So there's three mm-hmm. printers within our range. The entry-level one is the Pixma Pro 200, and this is designed to be an entry-level printer for those photographers, those enthusiasts stepping into the world of printing for the first time. So it's an 8-ink system, A3 size, fairly fast prints, on glossy media. So really designed to get people up and running and into the world of printing with us. The other printer that Sanjay mentioned earlier, the Pro 300, which we launched with the R5 and the R6 last year. That's a bit more of a, professional printer targeted at more of those advanced photographers, those who are definitely a bit more honed in on their skills for photography and also printing. But nonetheless, it's quite a small printer, 10 ink, delivering up to A3 size prints, and recently was the award winner for Best Photo Printer for 2021 with the TIPA Awards. So that's a really, really good printer, especially for someone looking to get into fine art and really take their printing to that next level. And then the third and final printer within our range of desktop printers anyway is the Pro 1000, which I know Sanjay uses. That's almost our flagship model for our Pro printing range. It's a 12 ink, so it's got a wider color gamut. It does up to A2. It's got larger ink tanks, so it makes it much more better for, commercial printing larger volumes. But one of the fantastic things is that whichever printer you pick from that range, they all share common technologies, whether it's in the printhead design, the ink system, the software, the robustness, the quality, compatibility with media. It's all shared between those. So we allow users to come in at any point, whether they're super advanced or very early on, and to get integrated into printing their photos very easily.
So just for my understanding, either the Pro 200 or Pro 300 or Pro 1000, how
1000,
yeah, like... I have a small office, a small studio. How much room do I need to clear out if I want to get one of these?
the 1000 is quite, heavy in the sense that you might need to have a table that can support up to around 30 kg.
Okay,
that is quite a heavy one. But you're not looking at anything with the 1000, anything more than sort of 70 centimeters, across. But the smaller ones, like the 300 and the 200, they're a lot smaller in terms of width, about 600 or a millimeters or 60 centimeters across, and they weigh a lot less as well. So it really depends. If you're looking to print A2,
yeah,
or up to A2 size, then of course you need to factor in that space and weight,
yeah,
for your studio. But if you're comfortable printing at A3, then the 300 and the 200 will fit in quite nicely.
Okay, and I know there are many new technologies that Canon uses, like HDR printing and 8K printing. Although I don't know exactly what that is, but can you explain a little bit what those technologies are and what they do? HDR, I think, but maybe for the listeners, please explain.
One of the great things with us as Canon, as a imaging company, let's put aside the printers and the cameras, is that we cover everything, from capture to print, so from the light hitting the sensor on the camera, all the way through to software to allow you to edit those images and bring out all the details that you've captured, right the way through to ink falling on the paper.
Mm.
So I think because we encompass that all, we understand that technology from input to output. So what we're able to do then is something that our competitors and any other manufacturer can't do is completely create unique technologies that will get the maximum amount out from the camera and the lens right the way through to print. So HDR printing really is all around retaining highlights and color information within your images when you're printing. So from shooting raw right the way through to printing, getting the maximum amount of data out so that your images look really, really good as you shot them, you know, when capturing. And then 8K was very specific feature for our R5. Sanjay will probably be able to tell you as well. He was one of the first to actually try out the 8K shooting mode where you shoot an 8K video and then you can grab a still from that video.
Okay.
And then print. And maybe Sanjay, you can comment on how you found that 8K function from the R5.
Yeah, that was an exciting process actually, because this was all during lockdown as well, where we were just itching to get back out and create something. And I had the R5 completely handheld, so not stabilized in any particular way, other than the sort of the internal, you know, the internal stabilization. I did an 8K video of this bride walking down some stairs and literally pulled a frame. What, you know, so it's a 45 megapixel stills camera. And because of the form factor of the video, it's sort of widescreen, it ends up becoming 35 megapixels as a TIFF. So when you pull that still, you have a 35 megapixel TIFF. And you drop that into the DPP, the Canon DPP software, and process that out as a TIFF, or however you want to process that TIFF actually. And then you print it. It's actually just a really, really simple process. So that opens up a lot of possibilities, certainly for me as a wedding photographer, in certain situations where I know parts of the day may be incredibly hectic or frantic or very unpredictable. You know, there are certain moments in the day which become like this. What this does is it gives me this opportunity where I can capture really unpredictable or frantic parts of the day as an 8K video, and then, you know, pull a still from that afterwards and process that, you know, process this image out, and it's good enough to print. So it opens up a lot of possibilities in terms of creation and capture and, you know, handling difficult moments. And I think actually maybe for you as well, Ilvi, you know, it's as a photojournalist, you could be filming through a moment and
having the shots. That's amazing.
And having the shot. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, sort of tracking somebody in particular, if you wanted to, you just tap on their face and it follows them around. You can concentrate on however you're composing the image. You could even do this by having the camera against your eye rather than having to use the screen on the backs, just so it's, you know, maybe less evident that you're filming video. I don't know how you work. Everyone works differently.
Well, that image that Sanjay was talking about, we printed it in the office because we were equally excited to see this being put through its paces. You know, we had sample images sent to us to test in house, but it's only until you actually really see this type of technology put to actual real world usage, and it was amazing. You know, that shot of the bride walking down the stairs, the sharpness, the colors, the detail, everything was there. These type of technologies are only possible with our ecosystem, because the technology inside the cameras is able to then be translated across to the printer. So more of this to come. That was the 8K and the HDR printing that we really pushed when we did launch the Pro 300.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And Sanjay, while you were chatting, I was a bit curious, what kit do you use? We know which printers you use now, but what camera do you use it on? Because it is a whole range, of course.
Yeah, I mean, obviously with the introduction of the RF system, I'm kind of going through a transition. So traditionally, I've been a 1D series user with a series of EF lenses, but that's all changing. So at the moment, I'm using R5s, and then there's the new R3, which is an incredibly exciting camera. So it'll be a combination of R3 and R5 for me, and a range of RF lenses. So as it stands, my favorite lenses of all time are the 28-70 f2. It's just a stunning lens. 7200, the 50mm 1.2. And these are probably the key lenses I use regularly. And then there's macro lenses and other bits and pieces. And obviously there's some more lenses coming from Canon as well. So it's exciting times because, you know, the whole RF system and the new mount size and position, you know, the flange depth from, you know, from the mount to the sensor opens up a lot of possibilities in terms of lens physics and what's possible and what, you know, what could come from Canon as well. That's very exciting.
Yeah, totally. So
it's kind of in flux because there's always some really cool things coming from Canon.
Yeah, that's so true. Especially in recent years, it's been amazing. Yeah. And what print media do you use?
I think it depends on the image, to be honest. So I think every image lends itself to a particular type of paper. So it's, you know, sometimes it's a photo paper, a satin photo paper. I don't often use glossy. It's just, I'm not a fan of the reflective surface, but it's a purely a taste thing. I think some people love that, and that's absolutely fine. I love fine art paper. I just love the detail you can get from that. So it's a combination of sort of different Beretta papers and fine art papers, that sort of thing. So, you know, I don't limit myself to any one particular type. I just think the nature of the image sort of dictates how it's presented. And thankfully, there's lots of different papers available. I mean, Canon have a whole host of papers out there that, again, it just comes down to taste. I think that, you know, a lot of people will be able to experiment with and have some fun with.
Yeah, true. And Shahib, I know, there are many different kinds of papers. Some are more to people who are new to printing. Well, that would be me. But also for people who are more experienced. So what are the best options? And which one would be used for who and why and which printer? Where do we go?
I think there's a whole variety of media and manufacturers as well, might add, out there that produce some really, really good papers. And I think one of the things that we've tried to do with our own range anyway is to get people into printing and get them to understand different paper types quite easily, and then venture off and, you know, learn, you know, and explore and find other media types that might, you know, produce a particular effect that they're looking for with their print. So from within the Canon range, you know, we do offer a high gloss platinum finish, which, you know, like Sandra said, you know, isn't the most popular one, but it can lend itself quite nicely to, let's say, a print that you're looking to have show vibrant gloss, you know, flashy colors, maybe a fashion shoot or some that has really, really high, you know, vibrancy, color vibrancy. Mm. But at the same time, we offer a Canon Luster paper as well, which is a bit more, you know, a satin style finish where it's not as reflective. And then also some fine art media as well from our Canon range, which is the fine art smooth and the fine art rough. And again, you know, the two options are there so that, you know, the users can choose which type of effect to go for, whether they want a painterly effect with the rough finish or a much more subtle effect with the smooth. And the key thing with all of the Canon papers are that the profiles are baked in to the printers. So whichever of the three printers you choose, 200, the 300, or the 1000, you'll be able to just buy the Canon media and just put it in, select it from the drop down within the software, and you're good to go. So I think the Canon media is really designed just to get users into the world of printing and printing their photos on different media types. But realistically, out there in the market, we know what photographers like, what they what papers they print on, and two of the biggest manufacturers, Canson and Hahnemüller, are commonly used media types for printing photos because their range is vastly superior and more, you know, a much more range in terms of the different types of finishes. So again, we understand that from a Canon point of view. So we work very closely with both Canson and Hahnemüller to develop ICC profiles for our printers. So when you do purchase a paper type from those manufacturers, you'll be able to download a file which you just, you know, simply double click and install, and that will mean that that paper profile is now compatible with your printer, any of those three printers. So So the range is massive. Our range is there just to get people in. But, there's other manufacturers out there that make really good papers that work with our printers.
Beautiful. Wow. Really, it makes me excited, actually, to go out and print some of my own work as well. So the last question to both of you, how do you both see the future of print?
The romantic in me would hope that it would continue for forever, because, I mean, if we look back at everything that's historical, it's on paper, whether it's art or documents or that sort of thing. And it's endured all this time, whereas digital media, there's a very high rate of obsolescence with digital media. It used to be floppy disks, which became smaller floppy disks that became mini disks that became, CDs that became USBs, and USBs changing from USB-A to USB-C. Yeah, so it's constantly changing. These USB sticks are becoming smaller and smaller. People are losing them. I'd like to think that paper will be around for a long time. Printed media will be around for a long time. And people will realize that it's the way to cherish an image if it really means something to them. So long as people keep doing their images justice and printing them and showing them off physically, and so long as people continue to cherish their images in the physical printed way, I think it'll be around to stay for a long time. And, personally, I see my journey in printing just sort of going further and growing as time progresses. In fact, I'm going larger. So I mentioned I've got the Pro 1000 at the moment, which does A2. And I'm in the process of going to large format printing, possibly the 44-inch. And I'm sort of suffering from that supply problem that's happening. Everything is in so much demand, it's really hard to get hold of at the moment, but it's a good problem to have. So yeah, hopefully it's a 44-inch one, which opens up huge possibilities for me as a business as well, because the actual cost to profit ratio is the cost is minimal. It's massive. The margin is massive as far as, sort of what I could print an A1 or A0 print at compared to what it actually costs to print. So I think when I was preparing for the photography show, I was at the Farringdon office for Canon, where they've got all the print solutions there. And I printed off one of my images on a Canon canvas media. And it was, if I remember correctly, it was a little larger than A1, this print. And the software told me that print cost £11. £11. And if I was being if I was being really lazy, I'd probably only sell that for about £350.
Yeah.
Probably more like £500.
Yeah.
So you just do the maths. It would only take 8 or 9 prints to pay for the printer at that price. I don't know why everyone doesn't do it, to be honest.
From a Canon point of view, print is always going to be part of that imaging journey. And, like Sanjay said, we see that growing in the future as well. We don't see it as a category that, will eventually fade away. There will always be a need to print, from documents right the way through to photos as well. So it's something that we will always and continue to champion. And from a Canon point of view, what some of our goals for the, let's say the next decade and future is really to make that process easier, make the quality better, to really attain what you've captured from a camera and translate that into print much more easier and more accurate, so that, you can almost instantly capture an image and see that on a screen and also on your print as well. So that's going to be our goal as well for the next few years, and we're going to continue to develop technologies and solutions that are going to work with our camera team as well as our printing team to really push that and make that come to life.
Beautiful. Well, the future looks very interesting for printing. Thanks to both of you for your time, and it was lovely listening to all your stories.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks. Well, that just about wraps up another episode of Shutter Stories. Thanks to my lovely guests, Deborah Korn, Sanjay Jogia, and Suhaib Hussain for the fascinating discussion. And thanks to you for listening. And next time we'll be looking back on 10 years of Canon Cinema EOS systems. See you then.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, you can rate and subscribe in the episode's listing. If you have any thoughts or feedback on today's episode or the podcast as a whole, why not reach out to us on social media? You'll find our details in the description below. We'd love to hear from you.